Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, President and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Jonathan, at Church Answers, there's such an incredible community. There's an incredible community of pastors, incredible community of church leaders, and we're going to be talking to one of those leaders that I've gotten to know over the last several months, Josh Bryan, who is he's in that church space, but as an attorney. And we're going to be talking to him, and I really want all of you church leaders to listen up, because some of the things that you're going to hear and some of the opportunities you have to connect with Josh are going to be absolutely incredible. Speaking of the connections at Church Answers, one of my favorite ones is the fact that we have been connected with Vanderblumen almost since certainly since the sponsorship onset of TomRainer.com, and they are providing some coaching for a very limited number. So listen up to that information.
Yep, and they have their Fall Pastor Coaching Network is open right now. You can submit an application and join them in September and November for one of two networks, one for lead pastors, one for executive pastors. There's only 16 spots in each, so you got to sign up soon. It's a close-knit roundtable network where you can grow as a leader so that you can grow your team and ultimately grow your church. If you're interested, you can visit vanderblumen.com/coaching for more information. Once again, it's vanderblumen.com/coaching.
All right, Jonathan, introduce our audience to Josh Bryant.
All right, so our audience can't see this, but Josh has a very impressive office.
He does. He does.
And it's funny. It's like the perfect mix of church and law.
It is. I see systematic theology,
yeah,
and I see
systematic, and there's, I guess, legal books behind him.
Those have to be
books. I've got a decent library. I'm blessed to.
He's got commentaries over here, and he's got legal documents over there.
Yeah,
we've got the commentaries. We've got the systematic theology, and hey, we want to merge the two and make sure that that church are protected. So I reference both.
Yeah, hey, Josh. Before the introduction, we were already talking about you, looking at the books. I cannot read what the law books are right behind your head. What are those?
The red books are all of the Arkansas state statutes. Since I'm licensed in the state of Arkansas, that's kind of my go-to reference for anything that happens in the state of Arkansas. Also got some federal books back there, constitutional books, things like that. So
you ever look at Martindale and Hubbell?
Martindale, yeah,
All right. I every now and then I'll see it in law office, and it'll have some Martindale and Hubbell in there. So
they produce a lot of legal titles. So you can't see it in the video, but the top level up here, the top shelf, I've got a whole bunch of books by some guy named Rainer. So
Sam and Art, I'm glad you did.
that's funny.
Good. All right, Jonathan.
All right, so Josh Bryant, he is the managing attorney at Church General Counsel. He seeks to help churches bolster church growth and ministry needs with legal compliance and best risk management practices. After earning a Juris Doctorate from the University of Arkansas School of Law in Fayetteville, he spent 5 years as a litigation attorney. Only a month into his legal career, God saw fit that he and his wife into ministry. They spent the next 5 years preparing for that before he became the pastor of adult discipleship at First Baptist Church, Rogers, Arkansas. He did that for about 5 years and then spent a significant amount of time helping his church and other churches with the legalities of operating a church. He now does that full-time, helping churches and pastors grow their ministries around legal issues.
When I first learned about you, one of the first things I did was I said, we've got to get to know more about you because you have that unique intersection of church vocation and law. So you get it. You get issues with the church. You have been on staff. You have your JD. You get these issues. I really want our audience to know more about you. I'm going to say some more about that at the end. But I think that you're going to be one of the most important resources that Church Answers and the Rainer Ministries audience can get to know. So thank you for being here. This is going to be an incredible help. Church leaders, listen up, because we could be talking about all kinds of things in church and law, but he's going to be talking about five major legal issues facing churches today. Wish we could do more. We'll have to have him back.
I know. And you know what I bet his favorite books of the Bible are? The Pentateuch.
Oh, gosh. The books of the law. Yeah.
How about that? Funny.
I made a joke. My academic paper in seminary was Romans 7 talking about the law. So
There he goes. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we're looking at five legal issues facing the church today. Number one, church security.
Absolutely. Church security, it seems like that's probably the biggest call that I get, you know, with the instances that happened down in South Texas, with the shooting there in the church there. And, you know, we see you can't turn on the news without seeing just devastating news of somebody coming into a place with a lot of people and opening fire. And so I'm getting a lot of calls about church security. And it seems like what a lot of churches want to talk about are just who gets to carry a gun. But when they call and say, listen, we want a church security policy, or we want help making sure that we're providing security in a way that aligns with the law, that manages our risk, I always have to tell them, let's take a step back and let's look at the global security and the overarching security of your church, because statistically speaking, you are much more likely to have other major security issues in your church and other threats to your church beyond an active shooter. And so we need to talk about all of those other issues right along talking with the prospect of an active shooter and how we're going to engage ministry teams to keep your church safe. So
what are some of those, what are some of those other issues, you know, other than the shooting? I mean, like you said, that gets the headlines. What are some of those other security issues?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, the number one reason that churches go to court for several of the last 10 years, the number one reason that churches have gone to court are because there has been an abuse situation within the children's or student ministry.
Yeah.
And so that's
we'll get to that in point number five, obviously.
Absolutely. And so that's a huge security issue that we're going to talk about. When you talk about the security of your church, I like to think of it as the walls around your church. And certainly we don't want to keep people out, and we don't want to necessarily keep people in, but we do want those levels of protection, just like the walls around Jerusalem. And so when we start talking about church security, I'm going to want to take a look at your bylaws, because those are things that kind of provide the footings. And I want to talk about your policy manual, and we're going to talk about facility security, who can get into the building, when can they get into the building, things like that. We're going to talk about, what happens on a routine Sunday morning. How are you getting people in and out of the building? How are you parking cars? How are you making sure that the sidewalks are free from debris that people could slip and fall on? And then we're going to talk about your insurance policies and make sure that you've got sufficient insurance in the event that that something goes wrong and that there is a security threat that requires an insurance payment to somebody. We want to make sure that you've got those kinds of lines of defense as well. And so between active shooters and, listen, there are a lot of churches now that have schools inside their church. And a call that I get pretty frequently is as the family has continued to kind of unravel a little bit in our society, I'm getting calls a lot of times, how do we handle non-custodial parents, which is a security issue.
That's why child check-in is huge.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, yeah. All right. Number two, bylaws can be in disarray.
I just wrote a blog post not too long ago on this, Josh. It ended up, many of the questions ended up flipping over to Church Answers, where you're a very active member. And they said, where can I get help? And I gave them your website. And I said, you are the dude. You are Mr. Church Bylaw. I mean, just saying that bores me to death, but you are the guy.
Well, thank you. I tell you, church bylaws have become an issue for me. Is one of the primary things that I want to take a look at, because when I take a look at a lot of church bylaws, and I was actually speaking with Mark, our friend Mark Clifton, on this one a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, when we look at bylaws, it is usually pretty easy to tell who can say no, but you never can really understand who gets to say yes.
Ooh, that's good.
To a decision or to some authority in the church. And so we've got to make sure that the lines of authority and who are making decisions and what goes to the congregation, what can pastoral staff, what can kind of decisions can they make, the committees and the committee structure, what authority do they have? And this is becoming a much bigger issue. I was actually reading a case out of the state of North Carolina. This was a case that was decided in March, but a church there had tried to change some doctrinal statements of their church, so tried to change their statement of faith. Now, typically, a court is not going to get involved in something like that, but in that particular case, because they did not follow their bylaws, the court came in and undid the doctrinal changes that the church tried to to make. And that is a huge, you talk about a security problem. You know, that is a threat to the viability of the church when a court would come in and change the doctrine of the church. And so I think that's ripe for more litigation. There's obviously all sorts of First Amendment issues there. But when bylaws are in disarray, when they're not followed properly in decision making, and if there's a dispute that breaks out over those decisions, it can create a real problem for the church.
Josh, through the years, and it's typically once a year, sometimes twice a year, but through the years, I have been called to be an expert witness in a case involving a church, and usually a municipality, some type of governmental entity that has zoning authority. And most of the time, I'm representing the plaintiff, which would be the church, and they have requested zoning. They've requested to expand, and they are refused. And so I'm called in to, at the very least, tell the potential harm from an expert witness point of view of what is taking place there. I'm currently finishing up one right now in Oklahoma. And it's a fascinating situation, but you get to see this firsthand because you're the attorney representing the church on these zoning issues and property issues. So talk to us about those.
Yeah, so zoning is a big deal, especially in some of your larger urban areas where space can be at a premium. A lot of times churches are looking to maybe utilize a warehouse or church plants utilizing coffee shops on a Sunday morning to have their place of worship. And in addition to that, you're seeing churches who are wanting to go into multi-site or who are wanting to, you know, plant another church, and they're looking for ways to get property on the cheap. So for example, using tax deeds or buying in foreclosure or using, trying to do it yourself without a realtor involved. And so there are a lot of liabilities, a lot of issues that crop up. When we're talking about zoning issues, the number one issue that churches end up in court with zoning problems is under the Religious Use of Land and Institutionalized Persons Act. Hmm. That's a federal law that tried to kind of bolster some other federal law, specifically the Restoration of Religious Freedoms Act, or Religious Freedom Restoration Act, I should say. And so it tried to bolster that after a U.S. Supreme Court case. But ultimately what it says is that, the government can't discriminate against a church based on their religious nature in determining whether or not they can be awarded a zoning permit or use a particular piece of property that's outside of the city's planning strategy. And so, I've seen churches who've tried to plant on agricultural land and have to get special permits. I've seen churches, again, use industrial and warehouse places. And so it's just important that as you go through that process that you have an attorney involved all the way. A lot of times because it's an administrative process. And so that by the time it gets to a court, if it hasn't been done right through the administrative process, when oftentimes attorneys are not involved, when it gets to court, there's very little that an attorney can do. And so that's certainly been an issue. Here recently, there were a slew of cases outside of, there was one in Michigan, there was another one in New York State, where the property issue involved had to deal with a church not being a good neighbor or another religious institution not being a good neighbor. And there were noise issues, there were complaints over, property lines and things like that. So those always come into play. But when we talk about property, we also have to talk about property safety. And so we're talking about code issues. Those have been an issue. There was a church who recently got sued because the steps were an uneven height leading up to the church. Somebody slipped and fell on that walking down the stairs.
Wow.
And so there was a property liability issue there that the court had to parse out. So those are some of the issues that come up when we start talking about property issues that churches find themselves in court over.
You're giving me all kind of thoughts on this, Josh. One of the thoughts is this: with the huge growth in the multi-site, multi-venue issue, multi-venue churches, they many times need to be contacting an attorney right away, not waiting and saying, "Oh, we've now purchased this site, or we've now signed a lease for this site." They need to be contacting an attorney right away. I think you are the dude for this. And so at the end of this podcast, we're going to talk about how they can connect, not just multi-site issues, but all of these. But the multi-site issue is going to be huge, or is huge, and certainly from a legal perspective.
That's absolutely right. I agree wholeheartedly with getting an attorney involved early. For an example, there was a church, and I believe this one was in the Illinois, maybe Chicago area. They purchased a piece of property with a tax deed, but they tried to do it themselves. They didn't give proper notice to the person, the landowner who hadn't paid their property taxes. And what ended up happening is after the church had spent all this money to purchase this property and even started the process of putting a church in that facility, the person who owned the property came back in and said, you didn't give me proper notice. You didn't go through the procedures properly. And the courts undid that sale and revoked that tax deed. And so now, after having spent all this money to launch another campus,
wow,
that they were out of the property, wow, and out of the money, and there was nothing they could do about it. So
just for clarity, when you say purchasing a tax deed, basically someone, an entity has unpaid taxes and you go in and pay it and you get legal right to the property. Is that the simple definition?
That is one way to do it. It's also, you know, if the government forecloses on a tax lien that they file on a particular piece of property, you can buy that through the foreclosure process.
Okay.
Both of those are ways that you can obtain property through tax deed.
All right, man, so much good information. Let's go to number four.
I never thought about that.
I know. You got all.
I'm like, all Josh, kind of
Josh is giving us all kind of ideas.
I know. Checking the tax deeds for like unpaid property taxes and. But that opens up a whole other can
of
worms.
Yeah, I can see your bald head going in a whole different direction right now.
The PR,
we need to focus, Jonathan. Number four.
Insurance disputes.
Boy, I'll tell you, insurance is complicated. It's very, very complicated. And if you use somebody who really focuses on what churches need, I think it's a great thing, and you can get some great insurance and great protection out there. If you use your run-of-the-mill insurance agent to try and insure your church, there's, again, nothing wrong with that, but you need to make sure you've got the right policies and you're asking the right questions. And what I've seen is some churches have some insurance coverage, or they think that they have insurance coverage that they don't have. There was an appellate court case out of the Midwest last month, I believe it was, in which a series of churches.
You sound like Jonathan just then. Churches.
Well, this network of churches got together and they purchased this insurance specifically to cover an unfortunate series of incidents about child mistreatment in the church. And they thought that they had proper coverage. The insurance company came back after they started investigating these things and said, hey, this is not what we thought we'd signed up for. We're not paying any of these claims. And the church and the insurance company ended up suing each other, trying to figure out who was going to pay these claims. And so that's a big deal. I've had churches call me and say, you know, again, in regards to this active shooter, you know, does the church have proper coverage in the event of an active shooter? And if we have a security team and we sanction and license somebody to carry a weapon in our church and they misuse it or something else bad happens, does the church have proper coverage? And there are some churches who, yes, they have good coverage. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going to be paid in the event a tragedy occurs. There are some churches who just think that's covered under their general liability policy, and it's not.
Oh, wow.
So, again, they think that it's going to be covered. The insurance company says no, and then the church and the insurance company get crosswise. And so with that, with employment practices, with you know, the prevalence and the unfortunate prevalence of sexual misconduct in the church, it's necessary to have some additional insurance policies in place in order to protect you. And again, the church needs to know exactly what is covered and what is not so that we don't get into these kinds of disputes.
Quick question on that. What are some basics on the insurance side that churches need to know that they're covered for?
The general liability policy is not going to cover a sexual assault in the church. And so, you know, obviously before we start talking, if somebody calls me and wants to talk through this particular issue, we're not going to talk about insurance on the front end. We need to talk about, you know, are you doing your background checks? Are you checking your references? Are you doing your interviews? Do you have a two-man rule? Do you have your, your 6-month wait period in place before a new member of the church can volunteer with children? So we need to talk through all of those things, but regardless of what protections you've got in place, no security system and no security procedure is perfect and is impenetrable. Matter of fact, I just had a client here recently have an allegation where they had to report, you know, where they were mandated reporters and they had to report. And so, again, if something happens in the church and the church got sued, your general liability policy is not going to cover that. And so you need something called a supplemental sexual incident rider or supplemental sexual incident insurance. And so that's important. In regards to the employment of pastoral staff, you don't have a whole lot of employment liability there because of the ecclesiastical abstention doctrine, where courts kind of take a hands-off approach to the hiring and firing of pastors. But in terms of your ministry assistants, custodial staff, if you have a school and you're hiring teachers, or a preschool and you're hiring preschool teachers, you know, any non-pastoral type role, you're going to have some employment liability in how you handle your employment practices. And so it's important to have what's called an employment practices liability insurance. Those types of things won't be covered by your general liability policy. And certainly if you're going to have an armed security team that the church is going to sanction, I always advise against that. I tell people go, you know, hire an off-duty police officer or something like that. But if you're going to get to a point where you're having volunteers carry weapons, there are other insurance policies you need in place, because those incidences are not going to be covered by your general liability policy most of the time.
All right. Final point. We've kind of touched on it throughout the podcast, child protection and mandated reporting.
Yeah, this is always the number one issue that churches end up in court, unfortunately. And this is something that we've got to take very seriously. You know, and when people call me again on church security issues, if they call me just to say, listen, we want an attorney on retainer that we can just kind of talk to, we can call and ask questions, I am always going to take a proactive approach on this particular point and say, I want to review your church's child protection and your vulnerable adult policy, and we want to talk through what your procedures are on how you handle that. It's a huge deal. We've got to take care of our kids. This covers everything from not only taking care of our kids, though, we also need to talk about, you know, what happens if a sex offender decides they're going to start attending your church. And I've seen this more and more, that we that churches have called and said, well, you know, we don't want to say you can't come to church, because, you know, we certainly believe in repentance and forgiveness. But at the same time, what are our duties now that we know a registered offender is attending our church? And so we're going to talk through those steps that we need to take in order to protect the church there. It's just such a big deal that we've got to make sure that we know what we're doing. And we also need to make sure that the people who volunteer with children, who volunteer with youth, they need to be properly trained on when they have to report and to whom they have to report. You know, I'm getting a lot of calls saying, listen, if I report this, I've got 70 people in my church. If I report this, they find out that I reported it, I might lose five or six families, and then my church gets cut in half. And I understand, and I have a whole lot of sympathy for that particular situation. But there's criminal liability for a mandated reporter not to report suspected child abuse. And so we've got to talk through how you do that, how you handle that, not only from a legal standpoint, but we can kind of talk through how you handle that from a pastoral standpoint as well.
You're in both worlds.
Shepherd the flock through that.
I tell you what, we have a guru called the worship guru, Mike Harlan. We now have Josh Bryant, the church law guru. And here is what we're going to start doing.
He's going to get that domain.
He's going to, yeah, you better go get it. We'll worry about that later. We're going to start having Josh back on a somewhat regular basis, like we do Mike Harlan, and we're going to focus on some of these issues individually. And we didn't even talk about the Me Too issue the sexual harassment issue that is there. And we're going to start bringing Josh back on a somewhat regular basis, because this is critical to the audience, to the church audience. And this is just one of the this guy's the best that there is in this area. So, Josh, thank you, and thank you for just right now accepting to come back on multiple podcasts in the future. And we're going to continue to feature you in this area.
Josh, if people have a question or need to get a hold of you, where do they go?
Absolutely. Go to the website, churchgeneralcounsel.com. That's counsel, C-O-U-N-S-E-L.
We have the link at the bottom of the show notes here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you can go there. There's all sorts of information, blogs, webinars. We do a free webinar every month on churches and court, just kind of give you an idea of
that's interesting
of what's going on. And so certainly contact me, reach out any way you need to.
All right. This has been fantastic. We're going to dig deeper and learn more about this. And anytime you're talking about digging deeper, you dig deeper at Midwestern Seminary as you learn more about the Word of God.
In just 81 hours, you can get a MDiv from Midwestern. You can get a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering everything you need, nothing you don't. Join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on a local church, or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv. That's going to do it for us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
I know our audience has just really been enriched with this information. As I've said in a 25-minute podcast, we've just scratched the surface, and there's so many other issues that we want to cover. So Josh Bryant, Church General Counsel, thank you for being here. You will be back, and we'll be talking to you more, because this is going to be an issue that our churches need to hear.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dr. Rainer. I appreciate you.
Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.